Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
The Volume.
The 82 game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code J-O-H-N, JOHN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. How are we doing? Beautiful Monday recording this. I just can't get away from the Atlanta situation, so I want to dive deeper into that. Penix, Cousins, the different variables, all the angles, because text around my buddies, it comes up no matter what team you're a part of, whether you're just in the Super Bowl, whether you're a playoff team, you have nothing to do with the Atlanta Falcons. Everyone I know has an opinion on it. So something I've been thinking a lot about. So we will talk about that. Josh Allen did a little scouting for the Bills and he wanted Keon Coleman. Draft grades. I want to talk about draft grades because I think they're pretty dumb. And some network shakeups. Some guys were fired today. Phil Sims, Boomer Esiason, Matt Ryan is going to take a bigger role. Jason Kelce will join ESPN. Travis Kelce got a little contract extension. Well-earned. $17-plus million a year. Future Hall of Famer. And a little tangent Tuesday, something I noticed with the draft and Roger Goodell I wanted to hit on. And then, of course, the Middlecoff mailbag. You guys know how to get involved. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Fire in those DMs. It's just my Instagram account. DMs wide open. Also, if you listen on Colin's feed, make sure you subscribe to 3 and Out. We have a YouTube channel where I did some specific draft YouTube content separate from this feed's up there. And this podcast, like all of our podcasts, are up there. So all of our content is up on YouTube as well. I think that about covers it. So let's talk a little football. But first, where's my phone? Game Time. I need you to grab your smartphone, download a little app. That app is Game Time. They are the official ticketing partners of this podcast. I was just talking to my lady. I said, we're going to a concert at the end of the month. And we're going to do that because of my friends at Game Time. Do you want to get out? Go have a good time. I just saw Stagecoach was this weekend. Looked like a lot of fun. If you want to go to a concert, if you want to get outside, sun's coming out wherever you live, have a few brewskis, enjoy yourself, do it on us. Download the Game Time app, buy a ticket to any event, concert, obviously games, pro and college, and save $20 off your purchase with the promo code JOHN. J-O-H-N, J-O-H-N, promo code JOHN, save $20. I don't even need a thank you. Just hammer that promo code when you download the Game Time ticketing app now. The Atlanta Falcons. They really are the talk of the league. I texted with countless teams that were in the playoffs. All of them brought up this situation because it's baffling. And I think the one thing as a general manager that's a lot different, obviously the two most important non-players in your organization, there's the owner who signs the check. Clearly he's important. But ideally he just kind of stays out of the way and gives you whatever you need, are the coach and the GM. And like a lot of businesses, the incentives for the two are not always the same. Obviously, winning is the most important thing. The GM and the coach, they want to win. Week one, week eight, in the playoffs, right? That's the clear goal of the organization, to win. But the coach is consumed with week one in the season. He is not thinking big picture. For the most part, you have some of these tenured coaches like an Andy Reid, like a John Harbaugh, who definitely thinks a little big picture, but they are completely judged on the immediacy of the season, success or failure. The GM's job is to balance the present and the future. No different than like a CEO in the private sector, right? Jamie Dimon is trying to have successful quarters. He's also worried about the health of JP Morgan over the next 5 years. He's not just always living in the present. And I think you go around, Tim Cook, Elon Musk, you name it. Tesla's having a good couple days. And I think as a GM, planning, strategic planning, is something that separates the good from the bad at that position. And as a GM, like the draft for coaches, for a lot of coaches, including guys that miss the playoffs, really gets going early February. The coaching staff gets involved typically at the combine or after. I mean, they go to the Senior Bowl, they haven't watched a soul. The scouting staff, starting with the GM, because he's the guy at the highest, you know, part of the hierarchy, starts watching these players in like a week. They start watching the prospects for next year's draft in a week. And the reality is, when they've scouted these guys that they just drafted, they were keeping an eye on a lot of the top players for next year. You're always thinking big picture. Why did Howie trade this year to get a third, a fourth, and a fifth extra for next year? He said it in his press conference. Because next year's draft is going to be a lot deeper because a lot of guys went back to school. I had a scout tell me, whenever this gets to the draft grades, everyone freaking out like the Lions are getting crushed. And he's like, yeah, this was the type of draft where you take an offensive lineman from British Columbia or wherever the hell he's from in Canada in the fourth round. Not that weird. This was that type draft. So if you are Terry Fontenot, the GM for the Atlanta Falcons, you have been scouting this crop of players since last May. You have been really dialed in on them since the season. You have a very, very good feel for especially the top of the draft. Later in the draft gets weird. But the top 50 players, the ebb and flow of those guys from late August till the end of the college football season. When you miss the playoffs, as the Falcons did, you know where you're drafting, like the first week in January. They've had the eighth pick now for 4 months. This wasn't something that changed. In free agency, a lot of things are fluid, right? You cut guys, guys take pay cuts, your cap changes, weird shit happens. You saw it with the Chargers. Went into the offseason, like, who are they going to keep? Between the big four, the two receivers and the two pass rushers. No one really knew. It's like, could Bosa be traded? Could Mack be cut? Could Keenan restructure? And then it played out. Kept the two D linemen, the two wide receivers. It's a very fluid process. The draft, in terms of your pick, is not. Now, when you're at, like, Chris Ballard, for example, he said Latu Latu was the number one defensive player on his draft. That's probably been set for a couple months, but he has no clue at pick 15 if that guy's going to be there or not. All the stories before the draft, Howie Roseman trying to trade up for the corner probably that he inevitably got. Why? Because he's like, I'm not sure if that guy's going to be there when we pick. A lot is out of your control when you're at 15, at 18, definitely in the 20s. But when you're in the top 10, and it is very clear who the first five picks are going to be. I don't have Jim Harbaugh's number, but I know enough people in the league and have followed his career like he's taking an O-lineman. Everyone and their mother, even though Mondi Awesome Fort was like, we're open for a trade, clearly he even said, like, it's going to take a lot for us to move, but we are open, knew that he was going to take the wide receiver, and it was going to be Marvin Harrison. So you knew all the wide receiver or the quarterbacks are going to go, and shit, we've known that for a long time. We've known Caleb Williams was going number one like 2 years ago. And then with Jaden's success and either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, you knew five, like you had a pretty good idea who the first five picks were going to be. And at pick six, you're like, the Giants, what are they going to do? Well, it's pretty clear the coach needs to win this year. Not going to take a quarterback if he didn't trade up. Well, he couldn't trade up, and he ended up taking a wide receiver. And at seven, with the Titans, they weren't taking a quarterback. Why? Because Rand Carthen loves Will Levis. So the GM, Terry Fontenot, who says, you know, things change, we had to think big picture, you've known or had a damn good idea for a long period of time that Michael Penix was going to be there at number eight. Every team has the same amount of resources. They all have the same amount of cap space. They all have the same amount of draft capital. You just get to choose how you want to use it. If you want to trade three first-rounders for Deshaun Watson or Trey Lance, or that's your choice. If you want to give Christian Wilkins $85 million, if you want to trade two first-rounders and pay Jalen Ramsey like the Rams did or Matt Stafford, you can do whatever the fuck you want. But this is not baseball, where the A's spend no money, the Rays spend little money, the Yankees spend a ton, the Dodgers spend even more. This is football. The Bengals and the Vikings and the Rams and the Cowboys, they all have the same amount of capital. How you choose to allocate that capital makes or breaks you. The Atlanta Falcons quarterback situation last year was an embarrassment. It was. They started a guy who's probably a fringe backup as their full-time starter, and it wrecked their season. They needed a quarterback. They knew it. We knew it. My mother knew it. It's not a complicated situation they were in. But figuring out how you're going to allocate your resources for your quarterback is a game changer. The Vikings were in the same scenario. So they figured out a way. Now, I'm kind of with Colin. JJ is a pretty risky player. But they didn't go out and re-sign Kirk Cousins to also sign JJ McCarthy. Why? That would make no sense. What did they do? They gave $10 million to Sam Darnold. That if JJ needs a red shirt and Sam's having a good year, we'll play him. And then we'll transition after the year. The Raiders, who got left at the altar, tempted to do the same thing. We'll give Gardner Minshew whatever, $8, $10 million to hold us over, and we'll figure out if we can draft a quarterback. We have no clue. The Falcons went all in on Kirk Cousins. That move in a vacuum totally makes sense. Little risky because he's coming off the Achilles. But like, hey, you want to get Kirk Cousins? Okay. Then to draft a guy at eight who is a ready-made player. This is not like when the Packers drafted Jordan Love. One, he was a project. Two, they had a guy who had won several MVPs on their team. And nobody, including Jordan Love, his family, his girlfriend, and everyone in his life said, you got a chance to beat out Aaron Rodgers. It was honestly laughed at by a lot of people in Packer. Like, what are we doing here? Here's the thing with Kirk Cousins. And this is what happens when you jump around teams. You have no equity with this team. You do with the owner because he gave you money. The fans don't give a shit. The players definitely do not. And I've said this a couple times because I thought this was one of the best tweets I saw this weekend is, Kirk Cousins is not going to be available at OTAs. So who's going to be getting the reps? It ain't going to be some random guy on the roster. It's going to be Michael Penix. Well, what are the Falcons full of on offense? Young, impressionable players. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. These guys have no connection to Kirk Cousins. So all of a sudden, Michael Penix looks good in practice. They don't care how much money you gave them. Michael Lombardi said it on his podcast today. You can't lie to the players. Now, you're obligated to initially start this guy because of the money you're giving him. But you have created a locker room dynamic that is really, really awkward. Going back to the Packers and Jordan Love, a little weird because it pisses off Aaron Rodgers, but there's no weird locker room dynamic. Devontae Adams, all the offensive linemen, Aaron Jones, you name it. Every offensive skill guy on that team doesn't even need to see Jordan Love practice to go, no way he's better than this other guy. No way is it even a question mark. But this, the question marks immediately start. What if Kirk Cousins is not near what he once was because of this injury? What if he starts rusty? What if it's just a weird transition? What if his emotions, as Colt McCoy said, because Colt spent time around him in Washington, like, yeah, he's kind of sensitive. What if this rattles him? So I totally understand the logic of investing in the quarterback position. The Packers did it with a late first-round pick. The Eagles did it with Jalen Hurts in the second round. Bill Belichick did it once upon a time with a second-round pick of Jimmy Garoppolo. You can go back to Bill Walsh when he traded little to nothing for Steve Young. When you invest the 8th overall pick into a player in 2024, no one wants to watch that guy sit on the bench. Not a fucking soul. Especially when he started for half a decade in college football. This isn't some project. No one knows if Michael Penix is going to be any good, including Michael Penix or the Atlanta Falcons. I think he's a pretty damn good player. I liked him a lot. I have no issue if you want to draft him 8th overall. But if you just guaranteed a quarterback $100 million, it just doesn't make any sense. And Coward's big thing is like, it's like buying insurance. I hear that. The difference is you would never allocate that much money to Cousins and then buy insurance that costs as much as Penix does. Because this is the and what you gave up, the ability to draft a very impactful defensive player. It does not add up. It simply does not. And it gets back to the Falcons have no plan. They didn't have a plan. They are flying by the seat of their pants. Because this would have been one heading into free agency going, guys, we don't need to give Cousins all this money. Why don't we just sign one of these guys for $10 to $12 million for one season to give us a little breathing room? But I'm like 90% confident, hell, 95% confident, on March 15th, that Michael Penix is going to be there at 8. And worst case scenario, over the next month, we start getting a little rattled that something's going to happen. It's way easier for us at 8 to trade up to 4 with the Cardinals to get him than any of those guys in the early teens, like the Raiders or Seattle or whoever. We are much closer, and it allows Monty, okay, maybe he can't get Marvin Harrison, but he could draft Rome Odunze, who is the wide receiver they would have drafted if they would have done a trade back. Because they were never going to trade 4 out of there. So to me, this speaks to embarrassing planning. This is a joke. It really is. And this feels like I'm all for being influenced like over the last month. But the GM should have been all over this in December. That's his job. This is not Raheem Morris's job or not Zach Robinson's job to be locked in. So clearly they fell in love with the guy. This is a coach influence pick, right? They really like the guy. So does the GM not like the guy? I just don't understand. Now, I've only worked for one GM, Howie Roseman, and it's always big picture planning. That's the way he operates. I can't even relate. I mean, I honestly can't. And I'm not acting like the draft is easy or this is some exact science, but I think we all agree that if you're going to give Cousins that money to draft this player at 8, when you would have known that before you gave Cousins this money, is fucking moronic. It really is. Because you didn't have to allocate. And what's the most powerful thing about a rookie quarterback? Bo Nix, Drake May, Caleb Williams, go around. J.J. McCarthy, all these guys that got drafted high. Their contract. Why? Because they don't make that much money. And if they turn into a solid starter or a high-end player, it's the best deal in all of sports. It's been the number one thing. Obviously, you would say the number one thing is Purdy's played well. But you would say 1B is he makes $1 million a year. We could argue, is he a $50 million player? Is he a $30 million player? He sure as hell is worth more than $1 million. But the 49ers have had way more wiggle room because of that deal. And the Falcons just wasted that. Because the $100 million they just gave to Cousins is the type of contract you would give to Christian Wilkins, to a sweet defensive player, to a sweet offensive lineman, whatever. Make a trade next year with your first-round pick and go get a Jalen Ramsey. But now they've used that bullet, at least these first couple years, on the same position in quarterback, like kickers. There's only one. You don't get to mix them in. So if I'm one of these teams that just took, if I'm the Vikings and I just took Dallas Turner, let's say he's not ready year one. He still gets to play. He still gets to give me maybe 10 designated pass rushes or a corner. Some of these guys that were drafted early. What if they're slow to figure it out? You can still use them on special teams. Maybe bump them into nickel throughout the season if they're more comfortable there early on than outside. Can't do that with quarterback. If Cousins is just playing, Penix just sits there. And he was, I would say, of all the players not named Caleb, was the last player who just needs to quote-unquote sit there. So I'll never get behind this because I don't think they had a plan. And I think they're just freewheeling that. And whether you're running Apple, Tesla, or JP Morgan Chase, or running a football team, if you are in management and don't have a plan, I'm going to bet against you. I don't think you have any chance. So the Falcons, it was just, I can't get over it. I think it's one of the dumbest set of, you know, moves. Cousins and Penix, the combination, I think we've seen in recent memory.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Empowering your people. It's something around the NFL, for the most part, like in the NBA. Let's say the Suns, by the time you're listening to this, have fired their coach. Why'd they fire him? Because Kevin Durant and Devin Booker want him gone. Why did the Lakers trade for Russell Westbrook? Because LeBron James wanted him. The NBA, whatever your star player wants, look at the Bucks. Why did they trade for Damian Lillard and fire multiple coaches in 6 months? Because of Giannis. Like, you don't do anything without getting not only their blessing, but typically asking them first. That is not the way the NFL works. The dynasty of the last 20 years happened. Tom Brady was never consulted with anything. He was shocked with the majority of moves. Like, wait, we're getting rid of Wes Welker? Wait, who do we trade? Happened constantly. Bill never asked for his approval. Why? You don't have to. It's not the way it works. And it never has. But the Bills are in a situation where they're going through a huge transitional period. They've gotten rid of a ton of players. And what did they do? They gave a group, I don't know, maybe he'll, you know, illuminate this when he talks, whenever OTAs start, clearly of a group of wide receivers for Josh Allen to watch. We want to hear what you think. Now, this can be complicated because if he likes a wide receiver that you don't, and then you take a different guy, things could get weird. But you've been in business with this guy long enough. He is your franchise now. He's one of the best players in the league. He's one of the most talented players I think we've ever seen. And you're going to go as far as he can go and you can build the team. Right? And Keon Coleman on his press conference said that Josh Allen texted him and said, "You're the guy I wanted. Watch the receivers, and I chose you." I don't think it's random that the Bills, their group of receivers, they came to the conclusion with Josh Allen, this was the guy they targeted. And I think that's a powerful thing because the Bills went through a rocky time last year when they were 6-6 and articles were coming out about him, you know, talking about like Al-Qaeda and 9/11 and then they won 5 straight games, won the division, and won a playoff game, and were right there with the Chiefs in round 2. So when you empower your players, like in this situation, now who knows? Maybe he would have come back with a weird ranking. I'm not sure he's like mastered the art of just knowing what in college is going to look like when they're in the pros. But I can see why Josh Allen liked this player. I like this player. When's the last time he had a big body 50-50 type wide receiver who was just a fucking monster? I mean, this guy's a beast. You'd be like, well, he played in Florida State. Now he's going up to New York. Started his career at Michigan State. Was one of the biggest transfer portal gets in the country last year by my guy Derek Ray and Mike Norvell in the Florida State football program. So I give the Bills a lot of credit here for including, empowering, in making this about Josh Allen's decision, when you agree, like, yeah, it's a good decision. We're on board. Let's do it. And then because that was the player, now, I still am hesitant to trade with the Kansas City Chiefs, even if you're not taking that wide receiver. Like, you're giving them an easy rep. Now, like I said during the, you know, I think on Friday, if you kind of look at who, they probably would have got him at 32 anyways. So you just go, listen, we're going to accumulate some picks here. They're going to get this guy no matter what. The 49ers are not taking him. The Ravens are not taking him. The Lions are not taking him. So you start doing the math, like, he's going to be there at 32. We might as well do this deal, even though everyone's going to shit on us because, like, you can't do a deal with the Chiefs and get more picks. And that's ultimately what they did. So I see both sides of it. I have no problem with anyone going, you can't be trading with the Chiefs. And I understand their side. Like, he's going to be there at 32 for them anyway. So if they want to get aggressive for this guy, let's pull the trigger and get the guy that we're going to get no matter what. Because these other teams are not drafting him. And we got him, and we accumulated a lot of picks because of it. The other thing I've noticed, and I haven't watched every team's press conference, but I've watched a decent amount of them. One thing that really stood out to me during the press conferences is when a GM brings his assistant GM with him. Happens with a lot of teams. After day three, a lot of teams, I've noticed with the Colts, I saw the 49ers do this, and I'm sure a ton of other teams did this. They had their area scouts or their college directors go to the press conference. They got to speak. Colts one's pretty funny. One of the Colts scouts was like swearing. I was laughing. That's cool. Because in this business, and I'll never forget this when I got let go by the Eagles, I'm like, no one has any clue if I'm good or not. The only people that know are the people inside my building. I just worked 100-hour weeks, driving all over, pounding, you know, the pavement, writing up reports till all hours of the night, watching hundreds of players. For who? For what? To quote my guy Ricky Waters. It doesn't even feel like I'm a part of anything. And listen, a lot of teams don't include those guys. And any team that did, I can't even imagine what it feels like to be those scouts. Like, that's a powerful thing. It really is. It's something that most of you wouldn't notice, and I don't blame you. That's something that all those scouts notice, and that's a place where other people around the league are going to want to work. So I think any of the GMs that send their assistant GM out, that send their scouts out, probably have a pretty good work environment. Draft grades. They're flying around everywhere. And I understand why people do it. Like, the written word has never generated less money. Everyone's like, you're just doing this for clicks. Like, you guys understand clicks don't get any money. Clicks is a dying business model. You could argue it's dead. But it does get a lot of engagement, definitely on social, and some of these companies like ESPN or whatever fucking does a reach around for that. It couldn't be any dumber. It really couldn't. You could put an F, an A, a C, a B. None of it means anything. I've been going to training camps for almost 15 years. Beside like the top 50 picks in the draft, no one has any clue. Like, for the most part, I would say the top 50 players, not in the same order, but if you went team by team, I'd say 80 to 90% have 40 of the 50 guys all grouped in some order. We're all on board. Like, that's their value. That's where they're going to get picked, give or take. And that's what happened. Once you get past pick 100, no one has any clue. Listen, I remember going to a Raider OTA, and my buddy on the staff, after like two practices, was like, Khalil Mack is the best player on our team. Now, the roster wasn't as good. But the point is, like, the high-end guys, like Joe Alt, is probably going to look good right away. Malik Nabers is going to run around DBs in practice. But trying to give a grade on 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, even 3rd round picks, do you know how often I've gone to training camps and you're like, who's that guy making all these plays? Oh, he's the undrafted free agent from Illinois. You're like, is he already better than the 4th rounder? Or who the hell is that guy? Oh, that's the 7th rounder from last year. He's on the practice squad. He put on some weight. He's a lot more comfortable. He looks really good. And all of a sudden, that guy's taking the 4th rounder's job. And we love to talk about, and rightfully so, is like, Jason Kelce, 6th rounder. George Kittle, Richard Sherman, 5th rounders. Cousins, Dak, 4th rounders. Those guys are outliers. I mean, Purdy is the greatest outlier in the history of the league. So most guys in the middle rounds, you have absolutely no clue. Some of them will have 5-year careers, be special teamers. Some of them will turn into Pro Bowlers. A lot of them will get cut and just bounce around the league. Or if they do become good players, might not do it for that team. Will get cut, go on a practice squad, get plucked, go to a different team, and get replaced on that draft class by an undrafted free agent. Happens every single year. It's not random that on average, like multiple undrafted free agents make the team for every team. Well, they're taking a spot. So just because you like a player, Mel Kiper, or Daniel Jeremiah, or whoever, no different when I was a scout, like, hey, I love this guy in the fifth round. I have no clue how things are going to play out. Injuries derail careers. So trying to give a draft grade on one of the great, hell, half the first round don't get second contracts with their next team. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. Schefter ran the study. I just think, and I get it. I understand it. I'm in the business too. We're all into entertainment. I read some of them. But I just don't think any of it matters. Now, if we want to talk about, you had to draft this guy there? Totally understand. Could you have got this guy in the fifth round and you took him in the third round? Why'd you take this player over that player? That's fair. But giving a C grade or an A grade on a group that we have half the guys we know for a fact won't amount to shit. And how many guys around the league like, oh, that sixth rounder of the team that didn't get a good grade, all of a sudden is their starting corner for the next 5 years and makes a couple Pro Bowls? Because that's going to happen. Or the group of undrafted free agents. Wait, you got 3 years as a starter from your undrafted free agent? Or this guy became your starting punt returner? No one knows that. Not even the teams. That's what makes this fun, is the great unknown. Because Thursday, Friday, Saturday is an entertainment product. And it's cool. I mean, those videos of guys crying, Maria's like in tears watching some of it. It's a powerful visual. When the GM, when the coach calls the player and he's there, especially at his house with his mom, his dad, his grandparents, his girlfriends, his buddies from high school and college, it is really cool. It's a very genuine moment in a day and age when it feels like everything we do is a giant Fugazi bullshit. It's cool. It's hard not to really enjoy those videos. The Jared Verse video of him running up the stairs to get on the phone with his teammate from Florida State and having that guy break out in tears is as good of a video as you'll see in years in the draft. If you don't get a little choked up on that, maybe we don't have that much in common. The video where Chris Ballard called a guy and he's like, am I getting prank called right now? And it was like a legit question. Are you prank calling me right now? He said, no, I'm the GM of the Colts. And he starts laughing. But for anyone to have any clue what the... Nobody knows. Not a soul. Happens every year with coaching hires. Remember Doug Peterson was the worst coaching hire of his class? 2 years later, outdueled Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl. Joe Judge got like a B+. Joe Judge ran a quarterback sneak on 4th-and-7, backed up in his own end zone. So I just think... I get it, but we all have to agree, it is the dumbest exercise in all of sports. I wanted to hit on this because I saw this video go viral of Charles Barkley on NBA TNT. He was wearing this bracelet, and Kenny Smith asked him where he got the bracelet, and he said he got it in the steam room. Because he was sitting in the steam room, he started talking to the guy, and the guy told him all about this bracelet, how it has different sands from different beaches all over the world. And Charles was like, God, that's the coolest bracelet I've ever seen. Like 10 minutes later, the dude came up to him in the locker room. They're both in towels, sweating their ass off after the steam room. Gives him the bracelet. And Shaq is dying. Charles doesn't know the guy's name. And people in the business, especially former players, you see this a lot in the NBA, just trying to educate. Like, this is not educational. That's what school is for. This is entertainment. When I turn on my television for something, a non-game, I want to be entertained. It's why I don't watch many of the pre- or post-game shows. They're boring. They don't entertain me. It's why a couple years ago when the NBC hired Drew Brees, my first reaction was,
this will fail. Not because Drew Brees isn't like one of the highest character guys in league history. Not because he's not one of the great players of all time. He's just kind of boring. Matt Ryan today replaced Boomer Esiason. Boomer Esiason has been a part of one of the biggest radio shows in America for a long time. I don't know the exact date, but I would guess 20 plus years on WFAN in New York. He's not a former quarterback anymore. He's an entertainer. And when I hear Boomer on TV, on his radio show, any clips, sometimes I'll be in the car. He calls games for radio. He's just entertaining. You know why? He's a lot like Troy Aikman. He'll talk a little shit. And I just mean like when he sees something, he'll just say it. Where so many former quarterbacks or former players who are fresh out of the game refuse to ever say anything. It's like, guys, we're all sitting here on our couch. We all just witnessed the dumbest play call of all time. If you can't acknowledge it, like, I don't want to listen to you. I'm not looking for you to educate me on where the right tackle's feet should be. Snooze fest. So Matt Ryan replaced Boomer Esiason. Matt Ryan, a lot like Drew Brees. Super smart, high character, good looking, long resume in the NFL. He's kind of boring. Same, cut from the same cloth. Not giving me anything. Won't say a word. Listen, a lot of people think Fox's pregame show, a little out there. Terry, might have lost his fastball. The reason they like those guys, entertainment. No one's looking to break down the route tree on a given play. I've seen those numbers of podcasts. They fail. So these networks are all looking for new blood. And I think TNT is a great example. Charles Barkley hasn't played in the NBA in 25 years. He's the most entertaining guy on TV by a mile. He even admits, like, I don't watch these teams. I don't care. Neither do I. So when I see these networks, and CBS is a little stiffer, but NBC kind of is too. Jason Garrett, Drew Brees, give me a fucking break. Who's making these decisions? Definitely not us, the consumer, because not in a million years would we have made these decisions. Makes no sense. I mean, these guys aren't entertaining. Now, Jason Kelce is a good example. Jason Kelce has a massive podcast. He's a huge personality. ESPN signing him, that makes a lot of sense. Why? He's a combination of them both. Hall of Fame player, long resume, champion, and entertaining. Totally get it. I would hire that guy too. No one knows if it'll work, but I bet it does. But just because you're entertaining, like I thought Rex Ryan would be good. I watched Rex Ryan, I changed the channel. I think it's awful. So just because a guy is quote unquote old, or you didn't watch him. I didn't watch Boomer Esiason win an MVP in the 80s. I don't remember a snap. And the majority of you guys listening didn't either. No one cares. If it's good and entertaining, it's fine. If you're 30 years old watching football, you never watched Troy Aikman play. He's the biggest play-by-play analyst in America. Look at Romo. Fresh, new, fun. 5 years later, everyone's like, yeah, it kind of sucks now. So new blood isn't always better blood. This is entertainment. This is not education. Just because you have quote-unquote star power, guys that have established voices and are willing to say some stuff, that's really, whenever someone asks me if they're going to transition, like, hey, work in the league, kind of getting bored, or, you know, I've kind of plateaued, should I go in the media? I said, listen, if you're going to do it, if you want to be successful, you can't hold back. You got to let it rip. Because that's how fans talk. And fans are the ones that pay all of our salaries. Because they think like us. Sit on the couch, talk shit about coaches when they make dumb decisions or when their team loses, they get mad, they get emotional. And some people just refuse to do it. I'll give Peyton Manning credit. He's kind of dipped his toe in, but even he said, like, I'm not going to be one ripping people constantly. I don't want to do that. He at least acknowledged it. Most of these people won't acknowledge it. But deep down, they don't want to do it and they won't do it. And to me, limit your ability to be very entertaining.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is at the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. End with this, Tangent Tuesday. I'll never forget years ago, it started really at ESPN, when everyone thought that the NFL was going to end. The NFL was over. CTE, the lawsuits. Football was going to fail. It was going to sink like the Titanic. And ESPN celebrated it. They had a lot of big J's with useless degrees, hooting and hollering. You guys are done. It's over for Raj. And it started with Goodell. They didn't like him. Let's face it, Roger doesn't need the media at all. And there's like a weird identity politics when it comes to people in journalism. It's why I think they gravitate toward Adam Silver. Because politically, socially, they view him much more like them. And he's nice to them. Texts a lot of them back. And they celebrate him. Even though this NBA playoffs is down about 10%. And once the Lakers are gone, good luck getting random people to watch OKC in Minnesota, despite how much young talent they have. Objectively, if Adam Silver ran any Fortune 500 company, he would be run out. He would not have a job. Meanwhile, Roger Goodell has turned the NFL into, I mean, the biggest thing I've ever seen. I've seen big things in sports, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, but I've never seen a league this powerful and this willing to constantly change, and it constantly works.
Moving the draft, I went to Radio City when it was in New York City when I worked for the Eagles. And it was cool. My first time ever in New York City. I remember going into Radio City Music Hall. I'm like, this thing's badass. And they realized, why don't we move this thing around the country? And now I heard Peter Schrager tell the Pardon My Take guys. They had the national anthem. They had a flyover with hundreds of thousands of people for an event where you literally turn in a card with someone's name on it and announce it. I remember being at Radio City Music Hall. I'm like, this event's really cool, but like, it's not like there's really anything going on. A dude just walks up stage, and the draft I went to was like, was an all-time great draft. It was 2011, so it was like Cam Newton, J.J. Watt, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Alden Smith, just some great players. I'm even leaving some. I think Tyron Smith. I mean, it was just an absolutely loaded group of future Pro Bowlers and even some Hall of Famers. And Goodell's like, yeah, this isn't good enough. Even though it was dominating, he's like, let's go around the country. Even I thought, like, eh, it's kind of weird. And it hasn't just worked. It's been a massive success. And the other thing I think is when you turn on television on the draft and you see all these people, whether it's Detroit, whether it's in Ohio, whether it's in Kansas City, it feels even bigger than Radio City because of the fans. One thing we learned in 2020 is like if fans aren't there, the games just aren't as good. It actually sucks. Part of watching sports on television is the arena, is the vibe of the crowd. It matters. It changes our experience as someone watching television. That's why I've always said, listen, I don't watch that much NBA anymore. But the playoffs aren't bad. If you give me a good home court, it's fun. Because you feel it on television. No different in hockey. I don't watch any hockey. Playoffs, like, I'll stop on a hockey game. Why? The crowds are nuts. It adds. And that's what we've added with these crowds. So I get the media hates Roger Goodell. A lot of different variables there, but he's been a dominant commissioner. And he's just lapping people at this point. It's like not even a fair fight. It's like Mike Tyson in his prime getting in the ring with me or you. It's like we might as well just jump out of the ring. We got no shot. He's bullying everybody. I mean, literally. So the draft, the vibes, this again will be one of the probably the most watched NFL season ever. And that's going to continue. I've said it forever. It's not going to continue forever. It's not the way the world works. Eventually, Rome fell. Eventually, we will too. But for the foreseeable future, Roger has this thing humming.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Okay, mailbag time. You guys know the drill. At John Middlecoff is my Instagram. Fire in those DMs. At John Middlecoff, DM, fire in. Start with Danny. Longtime listener, first time DMer. Assuming that Caleb Williams can achieve his potential and become a top 10 quarterback, what do you believe is the ceiling and floor for the Bears over the next 3 years? Well, I think there are a couple elements here. If his rookie season goes really, really well, like C.J. Stroud, let's say they make the playoffs this year, Eberflus will get an extension. And then you will be tied to him running the operation for the foreseeable future. If he becomes a really good player, but it takes like a year, like this season, he's just kind of, as the kids would say, mid. Eberflus gets fired, and it depends who the next coach is. Now, to me, if they go 8-9 and Eberflus is fired, I think it's fair to assume that they would hire an offensive coach. Right? You have this young quarterback. You've invested all this in your offense, that you would want an offensive coach who could also call plays, which would be the ideal setup, I think, in modern-day football. So I think Eberflus is now the question. Caleb is no longer the question. Now, if he becomes really good, regardless who the coach is, you're just going to have a good franchise. I mean, when you have a really good quarterback who plays at a high level, the only way you fail is if your coach is bad. Look at the Chargers, Brandon Staley. They had no shot when Brandon Staley's your head coach. But if you get a high-end quarterback with a good coach, you're good every year. The Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Andy and Mahomes, Josh Allen and McDermott. I'm talking playoffs every year. And playoffs are weird. One-game scenario, who's healthy, home games, away games. Obviously, in that conference, there's a huge benefit if you're in Chicago. If you're playing at home and you've built a good outdoor team, that, you know, you get the Niners or the Rams that aren't used to that weather, right? But so I think a lot is going to hinge on this specific season for the head coach. They make the playoffs, he gets an extension. They miss the playoffs, I think he's gone. You're not giving him an extension if they miss the playoffs. This isn't like, I'm not anti or pro Eberflus. I think he's been fine. But now we get to really judge him. And fair or not, there is a ton of pressure to make the playoffs, which is a lot to ask. I don't care if you're Caleb Williams, Peyton Manning, or me. Rookie quarterback, NFL, it's hard. With quarterbacks going so high in the draft, how long until the media catches up to front offices and starts ranking even mediocre quarterbacks higher in the draft? Thanks. Keep up the great content. I think in this draft, I think everyone kind of acknowledged all these guys were going to go high, right? I think everyone, Caleb had been the number one pick for years. Jaden Daniels after the season was definitely viewed like a top 3 or 4 pick.
Drake May was a top five pick coming into the season. J.J. McCarthy was a guy that it was clear the Vikings liked a lot. Penix just had a historic season. I thought he was a first rounder. And the connections of Bo Nix, which might have been the only place he would have gone. But Sean Payton were something people had been connecting for 2 months, it felt like. So I actually think for the first time, the vibe on the quarterbacks. Now, we can argue, is J.J. talented enough to draft in the top 15? I'm hesitant to draft guys with his skill set in that mix. Because for every Alex Smith we've seen a lot of Kenny Pickett's. We've seen a lot of Mac Jones. It is difficult. It is. And Drake Mays always get drafted in the top 10. Guys that are that big, with that much arm talent, even if their film is a little up and down. There's a long history of those guys getting picked high. Penix, a little bit of a late riser given his injury history and how good he was his, you know, sixth season in college. But I think for the most part, I feel like we'd been talking about quarterbacks going. I mean, a lot of people thought four quarterbacks were going to go 1 through 4. That would have been an NFL record. But four quarterbacks go in the top, whatever, 14, first time in NFL history. John, how long before we see other NFL owners want to see Tepper sell the team? He sent me the visual of David Tepper. I said this on, what would it have been, Friday night, reacting to the second round when I saw the video, like most people going viral. You could argue that it's, you know, he took off the guy's hat in jest, messing around with him. It wasn't even that serious. But I think he has enough incidents now where it's like, bro, you're kind of embarrassing us. Like, this whole thing is, we don't need you here. There's a long line of rich guys that we can kick you out for. Now, they're not going to kick him out, but this is one of those where he's getting a phone call and some owners not being happy. You're allowed to say stupid things as GMs or as owners, right? Jerry Jones said he went all in. Clearly did not. Jed York said once upon a time that character in terms of players means everything to him. They drafted constantly questionable character guys. You're allowed to say dumb things in press conferences. When you're throwing drinks at fans, when you're going into a small business owner and essentially talking some shit, I don't think it was that big a deal. It's not like he was bullying him to sell his restaurant. It just becomes a bad look. And let's face it, he's a little under the microscope now. And as I've said before, like, he's used to doing whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And if you get into his way in business, he ruins your life. He can buy your business, put you on the street. Remember the guy, I think there was a famous story of one of his competitors back in the day. He bought his house and then immediately leveled it. I forget the exact details of the story, but he's not used to random people that he does not view as equals being able to call him an idiot. And they don't care what he thinks. And they're right to do that. Because so far, his ownership has been an embarrassment. Doesn't mean it can't change, but it doesn't look like David Tepper is going to change. It doesn't view like he thinks he's been wrong. I can't imagine a lot of people around the league are happy because it becomes kind of an embarrassing thing. Imagine if a player threw a drink on a fan. If a player did that, they'd get crushed. And the team would say something to him. But who is going to say? No one on the Panthers can say anything to David Tepper. So it's the owners and Raj, which I would guarantee you he's already been contacted. Now, ultimately, if you're David Tepper, like, what are you going to do? You going to take away my team? No. You going to reprimand me with a fine? I have unlimited money. So I say the only way to make an impact on Tepper, take away a draft pick. Hurt the team. That'll slow him down. Or maybe it won't. Would you be able to rate the Chargers' overall draft? Love the direction of the new team and Brendan Rice as well. I struggle with this one because, like, the draft grades, I think philosophically, you saw them do Jim Harbaugh things. Offensive tackle, pick 5, which was the most obvious thing. I thought they would take Ault. If they would have taken Latham, would have understood that as well. But taking Ault, like, that's Jim Harbaugh. Why don't you take Mitchell from Texas? Yeah, he doesn't really like playing with those guys. Give me a sweet slot receiver who can get me on third and six, get me a first down. Because on first, second down, I might be running the football. He takes the linebacker from Michigan that he knows really well. That's all I have. I don't have their draft in front of my head. And Brandon Rice, a big physical wide receiver. Not the sexiest guy. A couple years ago, he was playing at Colorado, transferred to USC. Jerry's son. He played with a lot of like Peebles Jones, Michael Crabtrees, Doug Baldwins. He does not need sexy wide receivers to win. I like sexy wide receivers. Some of my favorite players in the NFL. Devontae, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill. Like, those guys are fun to watch. It's not who Jim Harbaugh has on his team. Look at John. Won a lot of games with some random wide receivers. You could argue Zay Flowers is like their first kind of sexy wide receiver in a long time. Didn't he go to the Super Bowl with Anquan? Who was two wide receivers? Anquan like Torrey Smith. This isn't a mailbag because I've always wanted to do one, but can't come up with a question. But either way, I needed you to see this grade on the first pick from Pete Prisco. I would have taken Jaden Daniels. He gave the Bears an A-. Draft grades, first round, Giants earned A+ for Malik Nabers. Vikings get C+ for J.J. McCarthy. You guys know where I stand. Draft grades, moronic. There were people that thought Jaden Daniels in 2023... There are people that think he was better than Caleb Williams in 2023. Now, the body of work for 2.5 years, because Caleb played half of his freshman season when they benched Spencer Rattler, it's not even close. But just this year in a vacuum, 100%, you could make the argument Jaden was better. I saw Lewis Riddick, who I worked for with the Eagles. He said he liked Jaden more as a player. One thing with Spencer Rattler, he was drafted, I think, in the 5th round by the Saints. Pretty sure it was the Saints. And, it kind of went viral after he was picked. I think Rap Sheet said that he talked to a lot of teams. And every time he talked to the team, the Netflix special came up. And he did a Netflix special when he was in high school. He went to high school here in Arizona. And if you watch that Netflix special, and I did, I mean, this is whatever, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, it was cringe. It was a rough watch. And a lot of people in the league said it was hard to shake that. And I think there are two ways to look at that. One, if you do something as a player when you're young, things now are documented. I am very, very fortunate, just like I'm sure many people listening, that camera phones and videos and social media did not exist when I was in high school and college. Very, very lucky. There are a lot of things, if they would have gone on there for 99% of my generation and definitely generations before, there would have been a problem. Well, that's what these guys have to deal with. And when you accept to do a Netflix special and it makes you look bad, like, that's there forever. Now, I'd also say, like, we all look back and say something I did in 2005 when I was 21 years old, I don't even know that person. Hell, it's hard for me to relate to John Middlecoff, I just went third person, at 32 years old. At 25 years, you should constantly be changing and getting better and improving as a human. So, Shane Beamer at South Carolina, I think, has gone on record and said, like, listen, the guy we've had around, ask his teammates, ask the people in the building. Like, people change. I don't think he's that good of a player, but in the 5th round, whatever. The Netflix thing, if Shane Beamer and the South Carolina program's like, I'm telling you, this guy's a lot different. Like, we grow. Sometimes men mature a little slow. Welcome to life. Wouldn't have bothered me that much. But I do understand where people do get a little bothered by it because of the position he plays. If it was wide receiver or safety, no one would have cared. For the mailbag, do you think the Chargers did a good job in the draft? I was never in the wide receiver at 5 unless Harrison Jr. was there. I like the corner Cam Hart. He lacks ball instincts, but he's amazing in coverage. He gave up zero touchdowns this season and is a willing tackler. Getting him in the fifth looks like a steal. I think the key to a lot of players on the third day, what makes or breaks them, is the scheme fit. Like, if you don't run that fast as a corner, well, if a man-to-man team drafts you, you're going to look terrible. But if you don't run that fast and you have a defensive coordinator that sits in zone defense, Richard Sherman went to Seattle. It was the perfect spot. Zone defender, great tackler, elite ball skills. George Kittle drafted in the fifth round. He went to a team that runs the ball a lot. So what happened immediately? Lined up in the line of scrimmage and blocked. And then from there, because of the scheme, the play action, he's fast. He got a lot of wide open routes and started excelling. I remember talking to George years ago, and he's like, early on, you realize, Kyle, how special of a place this was for me, because when he would call my routes when I was a young player, he'd be like, George, you're going to be wide open after we run these seven run plays, and everyone bites, and the linebacker won't even see you go by him because he's going to hit the hole so hard thinking it's a run. And George would be like, yeah, it can't be that easy. And then the game would come, and I'd be wide open, and he's fast, and he'd have a 70-yard run, you know, touchdown. Is George Kittle George Kittle if he goes to a different team? He's obviously an elite talent, same with Richard Sherman, but the scheme matters a lot for your early success. So offensive lineman, right? If I'm not a powerful guy, and I go to a team that is asking me to run, like, gap, schematic, like, I need you to push this guy back 4 yards for this to succeed, or you to pull and kick this guy out, it might be a problem. But if I'm not that powerful but a great athlete and I'm in a zone running scheme and I'm not asking you to push the guy backwards, I'm asking you to use your feet and positional block, and then the running back picks the hole after that, much easier for you to succeed. And vice versa. The power guys who don't have the foot quickness can struggle in some of the zone schemes. Now, a lot of teams do it all now, but there's a reason some offensive linemen are better with certain teams and not as good with other teams. And that works at every position. What am I asking you to do? And as a player being drafted, especially on, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round, I have no control over any of this. That's why as an undrafted free agent, they often say it's better to be an undrafted free agent than a late seventh round pick. Because if I'm a tight end and they're drafting me in the seventh round, if I'm going to a team with an all-pro tight end, a really good backup, and a dude they drafted the previous year in the fourth round, I'm never going to make the team. But if I'm an undrafted free agent, my agent would never let me go to that team. He'd be like, let's sign with this other team that has only one good tight end. He's going to be a free agent after this year. Hell, you have a good training camp, you might be the backup. Obviously, sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Now, big picture, I always think the cream rises and you're going to find a spot with a different team, but it makes the path a little harder. Question for the mailbag. Longtime Panther fan / sufferer. After free agency in the recent draft, what are some realistic expectations for the Panthers this year? And do you think they would move off Bryce if he has another year like last year in regards to they upgraded the weapons? Well, they drafted a running back high, Brooks. They drafted the South Carolina wide receiver. This is off the top of my head. Pick 32, Leggett, who a lot of people like. I think this is a unique case given what they gave up. You know, we just saw this last crop of quarterbacks. Justin Fields was in trouble early on this season. Mac Jones almost got benched in the offseason, right? I think this guy's getting 3 years because of what they traded for him. Now, if his year looks like it looked last year, just like unplayable at times, then I do think in the offseason they would be in the mix to sign, you know, a bridge-type quarterback and just quote-unquote compete. But I think this is the rare case where even if he's atrocious through two seasons, that he's almost getting at least half of the second or the third year. Think of what they traded for him. You could argue right now it's one of the worst trades of all time. Because you can put players to it. The tackle last year, DJ Moore, Caleb Williams. That alone. Because think about this. You wouldn't trade straight up Caleb Williams for Bryce Young. There's not a soul in the NFL, including the Panthers, that would do that trade. You would not trade DJ Moore straight up for Caleb Williams. And then I'm pretty sure the Bears have a second round pick next year because of the Panthers. So they've invested so much, you got to give it a little time. And I think this year, I don't know, 6 wins and just look like you're kind of trending in the right direction. I think you're the lock worst team in that division. I mean, the Bucs bring everyone back. They had a good draft. I mean, they're just good. They're solid. They're you know, if Baker's just solid, they should be 9-10 wins again. The Saints were right there this year. If Derek is just better now with Kubiak as the offensive coordinator, they could be 9-10 wins. Who am I missing? Saints, Falcons. Oh, the Falcons. They were right there too till the last couple weeks. They didn't have a quarterback. Now they got two. So they easily could be 9-10 wins. Like, there's a gap between you and those three teams. I think we all acknowledge that. 6-11? Like, would you sign up for 6-11 right now? Because is there a chance you're the worst team in the NFL again? Is your coach any good? Look at his resume. He was a lifetime position coach, 1 year at offensive coordinator, then becomes a head coach. Love the pod. Longtime listener. First time mailbagger. I too live in Arizona. Gilbert, and curious your current thoughts on the local franchise. I'm traditionally a Seahawks Broncos fan, but this year I'm most excited to see how the Cardinals play. I've heard you speak highly of Jonathan Gannon. Given their recent draft, 12 selections, offseason moves, Jonah Williams, Murphy Bunting, Mac Wilson, is it feasible to think the Cardinals could finish second in the division? I think there's a pretty wide gap. I think the Niners and Rams are both, one team wins 12-13, the other wins 11. The Rams are very, you know, Stafford, who's been banged up before, if he got hurt, they'd be in a little trouble. They did sign Jimmy Garoppolo, but Jimmy was terrible last year, but he'll be better with the Rams. I think there's a wide gap. Now, I like you more than Seattle, because of your quarterback situation. You both have young defensive coaches, but Jonathan Gannon now has a year under his belt. Kyler, I'd take Kyler over Geno Smith. I don't care what the stats say over the course of the year. I think there's a lot of pressure on Marvin Harrison. I really do. And I think he's a good player. I'm not some Marvin Harrison hater, but this is a text I got from one of the top wide receiver coaches in the league. My question about Rome and Marvin Harrison Jr. is, are they ready to be the guy from day one? This is a text I got. Are they ready to be the best wide receiver in the room starting in OTAs? Because now they get Ramsey the first play of the game. It's different when you're the first rounder, but you're not the best wideout in the room right away. But when you're the best wideout in the room from day one, it's on immediately. Now, obviously, Rome, because he went to the Bears, doesn't have to deal with that. He said, if Junior goes to Arizona, he better get his mind right. These dudes ain't on NIL money, watching TikToks all day. You're going against a dude that is 28, 29 years old, 2 kids at home, 3 G-Wagons, and 3 Pro Bowls under his belt. And his point was, and Marvin Harrison was his top wide receiver, but it's the mentality. Like, you're showing up and you're playing pro guys who are making $15, $20 million most weeks. And because of the team you're on, that guy's coming at you. And the defensive coordinator, who on any given week could be making $3 to $5 million, is spending all week knowing Kyler's going to want to throw it to you. And it's difficult. Like, there aren't Purdue's and Rutgers on the schedule. So Marvin Harrison could go on to be a great player in the NFL. Year one could be kind of tough. It's not like he's Marvin Harrison Jr. along with Larry Fitzgerald, along with Anquan Boldin, along with A.J. Green. I mean, they've had some really good wide receivers over the years, but right now it's like Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to get a lot of targets. And you know who knows that? The other team. And this is just another level, which this is where Rome really benefits. He's like, I get to be the third wide receiver. If you tell me Rome has 50 catches and 7 touchdowns, year one, very believable. I would like Rome less as a rookie if DJ Moore and Keenan Allen weren't on the team. And it was just some other random wide receivers. It's hard because they scheme and they develop the game plan all for you. Well, if we hold you under 5 catches, you got no shot. Now, Trey McBride's a good player. I'm interested in Arizona for sure. I think Monty Ossenfort's pretty good. And I think Kyler is kind of a unique head-scratching player, but no one can argue his talent. The pressure on Marvin Harrison starting day one, and a lot has to do with his name. His dad's one of the best players of all time. I saw this clip, I think from ESPN, where they did a sit-down with senior and junior. And Marvin Harrison, the dad, told Marty Smith, he's like, you know the difference in me and my son? He said on Monday, when I had 5 catches for 70. I was the first guy in the room saying, what the fuck is going on? Get me the football, Peyton. Hey, coach, this ain't good enough. They always knew where I stood when I wasn't getting the ball. Give me the rock. And then they asked Marvin Jr., have you ever done that? And he kind of laughed. He's like, yeah, it's not really my style. And that's kind of what this coach is talking about. Like, you got to be wired like a nut job in the NFL to be a great player, whether you're a wide receiver, whether you're a D lineman, or whether you're a quarterback. And part of being a wide receiver, especially with the hype and being the number one guy, is like, you got to demand that pill. Like Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, demanding the ball from the moment they step in the huddle. And the pressure when you're the fourth overall pick and you're how many players do the Cardinals have that are better than Marvin Harrison Jr.? Probably less than 3. So he's immediately one of the best players, if not the best player on the team. Tough spot. It's easier like Tank Dell. You just kind of get to ease in, then you become a really good player. Saw with the Niners, like Debo and Ayuk, they kind of got to ease in. And then there's no easing in for Marvin Harrison Jr. If I tell you right now Marvin Harrison Jr.'s rookie year is like 48 catches, 4 touchdowns, my God, expect a little more. Hey, John, big fan. 17 years old and just started my own podcast. What advice can you give? Just keep doing them, baby. Consistency. The number one key to me is just do it nonstop. Whether that's every day, whether it's every other day. And don't I don't really feel like doing it today. Or, there's nothing to talk about. The only way to get better is to constantly do it. Don't worry early on. You're 17 years old. How many people are listening? Put it on YouTube. Put it on, obviously, the podcast feed. Cut it up. Put it on an Instagram feed. Put it on TikTok for all the kids. Well, TikTok is still legal. LinkedIn. But you got to do it. You can't just we'll do 2 podcasts this week and then no podcast for 2 weeks. If you notice, I do these things every day now. I approach this like a daily radio show. I don't have to do that. But I just do. And I've been doing podcasts now for a decade. And there are days like anyone else, I don't really feel like doing it today. I'm not really that into it. You just got to do it. Okay, last but not least, Raider fan. Big fan. Raiders had a solid draft. Quick question. I was watching all the highlights I could find on Bowers and noticed he was wearing an armband in which he plays just like a quarterback wears. I haven't seen this before. Is this a new thing? That's some good scouting by you. Maybe it's, I don't know. I'd have to ask my friends that went through the SEC what he wears the armband for. Maybe he's like the quarterback, has the play calls on there so they can do special audibles for him. I don't know. I mean, honest to God, I can't answer your question, but that's a great pick. I told Colin the other day, I think 2 teams that would do anything for a redo this offseason would be the Raiders and the Falcons. The Raiders would have given the money they gave to Christian Wilkins to Kirk Cousins, and the Falcons would have given the money they gave to Kirk Cousins to Christian Wilkins. They would have flip-flopped. Michael Penix would be the Falcons quarterback, and Kirk Cousins would be the Raiders quarterback. Because if I told you right now the Raiders had Kirk Cousins, you'd be like, seriously? With all those players? Raiders would be pretty interesting. And if I told you the Falcons, Penix was their starter, Christian Wilkins was out of the defense, my God, it's an interesting team too. Instead, one team's got two quarterbacks. Raiders kind of have none. I know Minshew was solid last year, but I don't think the Raiders can compete in the AFC with Minshew. You could argue the Colts did, but Shane Steichen is an elite play caller. Isn't Luke Getsy your guys' play caller? I like what the Raiders did. I mean, their first two picks were excellent. And they already have some high-end players. But they have no quarterback that I can believe in. And it's not even their fault. Like, what are they supposed to do? They couldn't have taken Bo Nix. And they probably didn't expect the Falcons to take Michael Penix. Because if the Falcons don't take Michael Penix, I think Michael Penix ends up on the Raiders. And Brock Bowers is one of my favorite players in the draft. But I think we all agree you would give up Brock Bowers to have Penix, so you have a quarterback. But that's not the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. So I don't know why Bowers is wearing that thing, but he's a stud. Now they just got to find a way to get him the ball.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.